This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and thanks for joining us today. It is Monday, and it's a glorious Monday and a fantastic time to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Welcome to Newsmakers. This is where we get our local individuals and initiatives and ideas and all of that talk. This is the place for local talk. Today's show, we have with us a special guest, one of my favorite guests, Kevin Cameron. I say that about a lot of guests, but you do. Know.
Yeah.
Commissioner
well,
Cameron.
You got to say it to everybody who's in the room that day, right?
Yeah, right.
I never say, I've got a guest I'm not very fond of. And I got a guest that I anticipate being fairly boring. No, but today, Commissioner Kevin Cameron and the commissioners, we talk a lot about county business here.
Yes, yeah.
Marion
yes,
County,
do.
Polk County, all of these things that the counties do. We talk about the city of Salem, of course, but our voice is broad reach in Marion and Polk County and so many things that are important to us in our quality of life here in the Mid-Valley, the county commissioners have a play in. So
big time.
Welcome to the studio, Kevin.
It's good to be back. Yeah, always enjoy being here. Just had to make sure I posted I was on, right on Facebook Live right now get a picture of your
there we go.
Nice banner behind you. Maybe a few people will start listening to me or maybe tune in to hear you instead.
I think people, if they know it's you and me, then they're tuning in to hear you.
That's true.
We're in trouble.
All right. Hey, so glad you're here. Appreciate the work you do at the county. And you have a new county commissioner. So let's start right off the top at the beginning of the hour talking about your new county commissioner.
Yeah, we've had several changes. We probably want to talk a little bit about that. But Commissioner Willis, Colm Willis, was
been like 6 months now, 7 months.
Yeah, he was sworn in January. So, yeah, he's been here a good 6 months, 7 months almost. Boy, it's the end of July. Any of us, when we first get in a new position, whether it's a job or elected position, you learn a little bit, you have to take a little bit of a step back and watch and learn. And yet when things are important to you, you step up to the plate and act on them. And I think Colm is doing a really good job in a lot of ways and, looking forward to continuing to have him on board.
I know the three of you had a really good working relationship prior too. So to add a new element, especially someone who's new to the position, it's nice to have a good working relationship when there's just three of you.
So to lose Commissioner Janet Carlson was a huge institutional loss. Janet carried a lot of projects forward in this county and did a great job. And to replace her is tough. We've had some other changes too. John Latimer, who was our chief administrative officer for 16 years, a fiscal giant. The guy, John, where's the money? He always had it. but he was conservative in keeping this county in good financial position with his recommendations to the commissioners and staff. And Jan Fritz has taken over for him. She's been with the county longer than John has. She was our deputy chief administrative officer. Sheriff retired, new sheriff in town. Big changes, but I've always said in anything I've done, whether it's business or here in government, it's always hard to lose people that have been around, but it creates new opportunities and allows for creative thinking and people to move on up. And I think that's one of the things that I'm pretty excited about, to see what the future holds.
And with Jan, you have so much institutional knowledge to carry forward with. You don't lose all of that since you've been there so long, and hopefully under good tutelage from John Latimer.
Right, absolutely.
Good stuff. Yeah. Hey, would you mind talking a little bit about the politics and the process of appointing the new state representative?
Sure.
And that was a process recently completed.
Actually, I'll step back because it was a new state senator.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
as well.
State senator as well.
We did that with the Polk County commissioners in a joint work session. That we can talk a little bit about what, obviously losing Senator Winters really was a big loss, especially during the middle of session, into session. But moving forward, there was three candidates that came before us. And the commission unanimously, both commissions unanimously selected Denise Bowles, who, by the way, was pretty responsible for me getting to the state capitol back in 2005. She actually worked for me for most of those years I was in the legislature and knows the building really well and had been appointed twice and elected to House District 19. So now she'll be serving Senate District 10, which goes over into Polk County. And we'll wish her the best, and hopefully over a period of time she can work into some of those shoes that Jackie filled.
It's big shoes.
Big shoes. So, and then obviously as a result of that appointment, it created an opening in House District 19. And that's where we just finished that one. Actually, I think it was last week we did it, mm-hmm. on Tuesday. I was at the Capitol on Thursday for Raquel Moore Green's swearing in, or affirmation in is what she did. She solemnly affirmed on the Bible to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Oregon. It's always an, it's a humbling feeling standing in the House floor, and I did it in 2005 several times after that, but to be sworn in to represent one of 60 positions in the state, it's pretty amazing how you get there.
Is there a difference between swearing in and affirmation?
I don't know. You know, some people have a personal preference as to the words they use. So
pretty much the same thing, though.
Yeah.
So right. The process itself, are you pretty happy with the role that Marion County, and previous to that, Marion and Polk County Republicans did in selecting you, so a slate of people?
Sure, and this time around for HD 19, there was three really good candidates. You had Becky Mintz, you had Brad Nanke, and Raquel. It was a tough choice. I mean, there's any one of those three could have represented the district well. I think that was really good of the party and the candidates they put forward.
I wasn't able to be to the public meeting when you made the selection, and it was unanimous. Do you have any, Raquel, and I agree with you, had great candidates, and and I don't know, I only know Brad and Raquel personally, so I couldn't weigh in the merits of the third, but what do you think was the tipping point that made her receive the unanimous vote?
Well, I know for me personally, and of course I never spoke with the other two commissioners ahead of time. I heard some of their comments during the deliberations, but for me personally, it was the community support that she got. It wasn't just letters from PCP people who had selected the three, mm-hmm. And then went on to support. It was interesting, that process. I won't get into it, but it was interesting how there was actually a campaign made after that to support one or the other. But she got letters from former Chief Justice DeMunis. She got letters from widespread community support from nonprofit leaders, you know, from the tribal leaders in the community that she's worked with. And so she's got that broad perspective of an ear. And if you've been around, Raquel, she's quiet. Maybe people would think that's a weakness of her, but it's a strength because she's actually really listening.
Mm-hmm.
She listens extremely well, and she has this ability to stay on track. Obviously, I've worked with her. And I always say, people say she's worked for you. I said, no, if you're with Raquel, you're working for her. Right? I mean, she's one of those that says, hey, I've got the list here, and let's go down this list, and she stays on it. She stays focused. And so I think that skill of her ability to relate to others in the community will be carried forward into the building, which we need less, we need more of working together. We need more people who will listen to each other and say, and I think she'll bring that calming force and that ability to get things done that are important to our community, even in a highly, seems like, partisan environment.
Yeah, highly. Yeah. We're talking to Kevin Cameron, Commissioner of Marion County. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to so many things to talk about. We'll try to get through them all. They affect our ability to do solid waste. They affect our ability to police our communities with public safety. They have ability to get funds out of the legislature and so forth. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart. I'm here with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart in the studio with us, his County Commissioner, Marion County Commissioner, yes. Kevin Cameron. I have to say that because we get our Polk County Commissioners in here as well.
Oh, yeah.
Marion County Commissioner, Kevin Cameron. And you know what? If you're listening and you never really looked at a map of Marion County, it's daunting. Because it goes all the way up the canyon, of course, to Detroit.
Past Detroit. Idana to the Whitewater River.
Wow.
When you go up, if you're heading towards Bend.
Yeah. And then all the way north to Aurora, and encompasses the Aurora area, and of course the Willamette River, and going down south. So it's a big space.
All
and there
the
are a lot
Jefferson.
Of different communities.
Right.
What, 19 cities?
20 cities, the most incorporated cities of any county in Oregon.
Wow.
All right, let's talk. We got a lot of topics to hit today. And things that affect our lives here. And sometimes we take it for granted, that, you know, it's because they're everyday things, like what happens to the garbage that goes out on our street, or what happens when we turn on the spigot. Some of these things we just take it for granted that somebody's providing them, and these things all happen. And there's a lot going on in terms of funding all of these things and keeping the systems in place. Let's talk a little bit about the Covanta plant, Senate Bill 451, and your efforts there.
Yeah, so I Brenda, this is one of those things where I think I worked harder on this bill than in 9.5 years when I was in the legislature on one subject. It's extremely important to Marion County. The waste-to-energy facility that we've had here since the 80s generates enough electricity to power a city the size of Woodburn. Back in the 2017 session, I believe it was, when they did the coal to clean bill, we were able to get Covanta's energy to be renewable energy in that bill.
Hmm.
Well, what happened when they went to apply for the RECs at the Department of Energy said, hey, no, there's a problem here with this language. You need to go get this language fixed so you can be eligible for these credits, which obviously you and I know when you get renewable energy, it costs more, right?
Uh-huh, definitely.
I remember telling lobbyists for PGE that all this renewable portfolio standard that they were lobbying for was going to raise rates. He said, oh, no. I said, oh, come on. Right. But anyways, so we had that in the bill, but there was a technical fix that needed to happen. And I think all your listeners know about 2020, which was the cap and tax. Cap and tax.
Cap and swindle, according to Sam.
Sam, right. Tax and swindle is what
tax
he calls
swindle.
It. But the cap and trade bill. So 451, Senate Bill 451, with this technical fix that Senator Beyer from Springfield, Senator Chris Edwards, who was the senator when the prior bill passed, they all knew the intentions was for this thing to be renewable energy. 36 other states recognize waste to energy as renewable energy. Europe, I mean, they're turning these things into, you know, that's the way they handle their waste. They don't put it in the ground because they don't have a lot of land to waste. And obviously here in Marion County, we're not going to site a landfill. We're the number one agricultural farm gate county in the state of Oregon. And the way we've handled our waste in the last 30 plus years has been top. We're one of the top in the country, for sure in the state, the way we do things. So 451 just didn't make it across the finishing line. And part of that, along with other things that we needed for Marion County, part of that was the loss of Senator Jackie Winters.
Mm-hmm.
President Courtney helped us get the bill out of the Senate. We got it over to the House. I met with the Speaker. We had a great conversation. She was trying to help us. She says, I want to help Marion County. I know you guys do a good thing. She's toured the facility. But the majority of people from Portland just could not get to the point where they would say, this is renewable energy.
Really?
Because you're burning something is what they're saying. right?
So they want us to
put it
in a landfill.
Yep.
They want us to take the waste and ship it off to China or throw it in the ocean.
We've already done some calculations. You know, Coffin Butte is down in Corvallis, and we can do that temporarily, but we're going to have to go to a landfill if we have to shut that thing down. We're going to have to go to a landfill in eastern Oregon, and we'll be sending 27 trucks round trip through downtown Portland or 205 out to the landfill in eastern Oregon. That's 27. It's 9,800 round trip big semi diesel trucks a year.
Wow, that's environmentally friendly.
Oh, well, yeah, but they don't consider that. So, anyways, it's been a very difficult time. We don't know what's going to happen here in the February session if we can go back and take another shot at it. But we are looking at how the citizens of Marion County has their solid waste systems going to look in the future. There's going to be some changes, I think.
So what is, excuse me,
sure,
but
Dave.
What does Portland have to do with Marion County's garbage? I mean, how are they blocking that?
Well, it's environmentalists that got a hold of this and said, hey, no, we're not going to have anything. They're not going to have anything burning. They would rather, and if you look at the waste hierarchy,
right,
waste to energy is a preferred method over landfills. But what you can't measure on a landfill is all the, they say they can get some of the greenhouse gases, but you're getting, what's the gas that comes out?
Methane.
Methane, which is far more toxic greenhouse gas than the carbon, whatever carbon comes out of a smokestack. So what they're saying is that you can measure everything that comes out of Covanta, and that's perfect. You know what's coming out of there. Mm-hmm. And it's way underneath all the regulations that are handed to us. What you can't measure is the greenhouse gases that are coming out of a landfill. So they're not going to put them under the carbon tax cap. They're going to let them out of there. And that's where they would rather have it go. The issue is the plastics. That's what they're saying is. And so we wanted to, and we're still going to go take a shot at this. Maybe there's some technology out there that we could invest in that would help get more plastics out of the system. Mm. See what we can do to help recycle those and make a difference. But you burn plastics, you're burning, you know, it's carbon.
Yeah, if you're not familiar, we're talking about the Brooks burner, basically, where we take the solid
waste to energy waste facility. I don't like to call
energy.
It a burner.
It's waste to energy. So they're taking our solid waste and they're burning it up. They're creating energy with it. You end up with a sterile ash. I'm a big
right.
fan.
And that
I'm
ash,
a big proponent.
That ash is used now for a daily cover down at Coffin Butte. It's 100%. It's going someplace being mm-hmm. reused.
So what do they call those wind turbines? And when they catch fire, what do they call that?
Wind on fire.
Yeah.
I know, I saw that last week.
Right?
So the other thing about the waste to energy facility is all the police agencies from around the state send their evidence there to be destroyed and burned. Medical waste from Marion County, from the hospitals, and there's some that comes from outside, is incinerated there. You can't put medical waste in a landfill. So if that facility goes away, all our medical waste is going to have to be shipped to, I think the closest one is in Utah.
I would love to see not just a renewing of the contract there, but build a second one.
Right.
And sell the services to neighboring counties.
Yeah.
I'm such a fan of how we're doing it that, and I believe it to be the most environmentally. That's what I want to do to protect, you know, Coffin Butte. You drive by a huge landfill and you're thinking, boy, there's a mountain of garbage there, or we filled an entire canyon full of garbage. I think it's great. If you haven't been there, look it up and do a little research on it. But that's how we handle our solid waste, and I think it's a model for the rest of the state and the nation.
Yeah, and there was an attempt to potentially, because it's sited there, to build another burner. And there was an attempt, Metro looked at it, about potentially building another one and having some outside people bring their waste mm-hmm. in there for creating more energy, or even it's more efficient if you just generate the steam and then across the road, like where NORPAC is, you would run that steam underneath, and that would operate food processing with steam. They do that in other places in the country because it's more efficient to just use steam than it is turning it into electricity.
Hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
All right. Technology there.
So the bill didn't make it through the House. Hopefully we'll try again in February. And what does that mean? It means they do not get the tax credits for being and how does that affect their operations?
So it's about a $5 to $6 million a year hit to a system. So, you know, if you're a business and you're involved with a partner, you know, you're leasing or you're doing something, and that partner loses the ability to generate certain revenue, you're going to have to look at your system. I mean, you can't just weigh it on somebody. So where's it going to come from out of the system? So we're still doing that analysis right now, and it's going to take us a while to figure out what the next steps are. Meanwhile, we'll try to take another run at it.
Should residents of Marion County be concerned about their solid waste bills going up because of this?
Well, we were just in a meeting last week, our quarterly meeting with Silverton and Mount Angel, and they were talking about their increases they're being asked for right now through their franchisee, because every community has different rates. But those could be even different in the future. We just don't know what that's going to look like yet.
Wow. All right, we'll have to keep track of that and watch for it and advocate, as well.
Is House Bill 2020 linked to that one?
Well, it got caught up in the middle. Yes, House Bill 2020 had the waste-to-energy facility underneath it, the cap, but landfills are not. They're exempt.
Wow.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough one.
That's a convoluted situation. Yeah.
All right. This is Marion County Commissioner. What's his name again? Kevin Cameron.
Yeah. Oh, just call me off. The hamburger flipper and the garbage man, right?
I see. My mind went somewhere, but I can't say things on radio. So Kevin Cameron is here with us on Newsmakers. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about funding for parole and probation. We're going to talk about Detroit Lake and our water and the projects. So stick with us. My name is Brent DeHart, and Dave Bourne is here. At 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. I forgot I did Sylvan already, Color Tile. All right.
We appreciate them both. Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to County Commissioner Kevin Cameron. We talked earlier in the hour about the appointment of Raquel Moore Green. We want to congratulate her for stepping up, becoming a House representative of House District 19, correct?
District 19, one seat that I held for 9.5 years.
And if you have not been around that long, that's actually the same process that Commissioner Cameron became appointed to represent us in House District 19 back in the day.
Nice.
All right. So we're talking about waste-to-energy plant, and now we're going into parole and probation funding, because the commissioner was at the Capitol and advocating for the needs of Marion County, right?
Right.
And its citizens. And public safety is such a huge role for the county. They administer the jail. They administer a district attorney's office. They administer the parole and probation.
Juvenile.
And the juvenile. Oh, yes. And so extraordinarily large role in terms of how safe our communities are. So what happened there?
Well, let me just say my philosophy on that. You know, I've been in the restaurant business all my life, and when we talk to employees about what decisions people make or think about before they come to one of our restaurants, is the food good? Is the service good? Is it clean? If we just had a hepatitis outbreak, do you think anybody would come to one of our restaurants? Absolutely not. And so people take safety for granted. Mm. And I think we can't as an elected official, but we assume we're going to be in a safe neighborhood. What's happened there is I believe the legislature in Marion County, we've been very creative with justice reinvestment and some of the things we're doing. And our recidivism, which is people that have come out of prison and go back to prison, mm-hmm. the percentage of those people going through that process has been reduced because we've been doing really good things. We're keeping less people out of the state prison system, or keeping more people out, sending less people there. Because of the programs that we're investing in and changing lives and families that way. Well, what happens when you do that, because you have less people, your reward for the money you get to take care of those people goes down. So in the state, not only did they not fund the total number that needs to happen for parole and probation throughout the state through the Department of Corrections, but our percentage of that total number went from 9.4 to 9.1. So there's less money, plus our percentage went down because we're doing a better job. So we got challenges. And you don't want to say, okay, we'll just start sending more people to the state prison. We could, right? The DA, I mean, that could be what happens. But, you know, there's certain places people don't belong, and there's ways you can get them help if you intervene. And I could talk about some of those programs that we're doing.
So Berrien County got a smaller percentage of a smaller pot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
That math doesn't work, and that's exactly sometimes the government. It's like, well, let's just throw more money over here, but not reward what's really working. Right?
Well, and in defense of that statement, though, there is with House Bill 3194, which we passed in 2013 when I was there, Justice Reinvestment. The grant money there, the governor and the legislature put some good money in there, and we will get our share, a good share of that, and that'll help us with some of these creative programs, and that's how we'll try to keep going with what we're doing.
This might be a little afield of your core responsibilities, but you have been a state legislator. How is it that the budget for the biennium went up in double digits and these new taxes are all paying past and kicked in, and mm-hmm. it's less money for our public safety coming out of the state?
It's priorities that are set by legislators. It really sends, you know, more money went into education, more money went into health care. In fact, when I was there and we passed the expansion of the Oregon health care plan, I voted against it because and the late Dennis Richardson was one that was most outspoken about this, because we could see 2, 3, 4 bienniums down the road. You couldn't sustain it without huge revenue increases because the federal dollars were going to go away, you know. So, you know, the best thing was to move forward with the new plan, the CCO model, et cetera, but not expand the population and make sure you could get it done. Well, here we are, and that's what's happening right now, is those revenues are if you look at where the healthcare budget was 15 years ago when I got mm-hmm. there versus now, it's more than doubled. Yeah.
And how much of that is Medicaid coming from the state? I mean, coming from the feds versus
right.
money we Oregonians are paying into the legislature in taxes and going out to the healthcare authority?
It's both, right? I'm looking at you and Dave. It's like your tax money, whether it's coming from the feds or it's coming from the state,
it's still our money.
It's the citizens' money,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So, bye.
I could tell you. Are we going to a break here?
No.
Oh, okay. So, a couple other things that were just small, little things. And again, this goes back to losing Jackie, but we had a victims assistant through our Center for Hope and Safety, a bilingual victims assistant. I don't know that we're going to be able to continue to fund that. We're going to have to figure out, be creative. We also had a court care program, Polk County and us, where let's say a single mom had to go to testify or whatever. We had a program with the YMCA where they could drop their kids off, they could make their court date, and kids didn't have to sit through these court hearings. Didn't get it. So there's some other things. One of the other things I think is really important is economic development, is the winery bill that Willamette Valley Vineyards and the wineries tried to. We need to make sure that we support our wines that are here made in Oregon and not allow people that just because they, you know, had some little grape from some place in Oregon that they could call it the Willamette Valley wines.
How did that bill fare? We did have Jim Verneau on to talk about his struggle.
We did talk about that.
Yeah, I can't remember where it ended up, but I know it's an important issue. And if it didn't get done, if it's still some things lingering, we'll still fire at it in the February session, but make sure it gets implemented right.
Well, but see, it's a frustrating not only for us and here at Newsmakers and talking about it and the citizens out there working today, but also for the county elected officials fighting for their share to do their job for people in Marion County.
Right.
Right. And you're spending a lot of your time up there trying to advocate to get what we need to run the operations and take care of the quality of life of people in Marion County. Appreciate that.
Right.
So parole and probation not fully funded by the state. And when we talked last, actually, to Commissioner Cameron, we talked a lot about the recidivism rate. We talked about the reentry program. There's mm-hmm. a number of community champions. Commissioner Cameron is fond of saying tribal leaders.
Right.
Have been working on this with good success. And I know you've been involved in all that and getting so that people who are coming out of the system do not go back in.
Right.
That is, folks, that's fiscal conservatism.
Oh yeah,
folks.
It's
that's
not part.
Like,
it's not a partisan issue because whether you care from the heart or you care from the pocketbook, it makes sense both ways.
All right. So before we go to break, let's talk a little bit about the Detroit Lake and the water and how's our water quality and some of the plans. If you want to touch on the Corps of Engineers or the marinas,
sure. In fact, I just drove down this morning. You know, I live up there.
Yeah.
And I'm maybe down here one night a week at my daughter's, but most of the time back and forth. There's a lot going on. In fact, tomorrow I have a tour with one of Congressman Schrader's persons from who works in Washington, D.C. is coming out. And one of the things they wanted to do was do a tour of the canyon. So I have a couple of his people. We're going to take them out on a boat, show them the lay of the lake and, mm-hmm. and some of those things. So we have worked phase one and got them equipment in the two marinas to be able to have low water access. Phase two of that is a permitting process that has been completed but is still sitting waiting to be signed someplace in the federal bureaucracy. Following up, yeah, exactly.
We call that red tape.
Yeah, waiting to be signed because Army Corps basically is in charge of the lake. However, the U.S. Forest Service is in charge of the ground, and it's like, you know, we're working on that. I think we're going to get there. And hopefully we'll get some answers tomorrow on where we're at with that. But the two marinas are, if they could excavate underneath them during the winter when the water level's down, they could be able to operate during these low water years. As you know, we had plenty of water this year, but mm-hmm. then we had a huge warming trend, which melted a lot of snow fast. So the lake is down quite a bit right now. I don't know that the marinas, the sportsmen, which is the independent sportsmen's club over there, I think they're going to be out. Their boat's got to be out like in a week or so. The marinas, last I heard, are going to try to make it through Labor Day. But the water's going down pretty fast. Mm. But it's still beautiful up there. It's a great place to come and enjoy and relax and spend some money on the local community. Downriver, the city of Salem obviously depends on the water. We good on
yep.
Sean? The city of Salem, and they're investing, and they got some money from the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Almost $20 million, I think, for a couple of wells.
Right, to invest in some alternative treatment and things that in case what they had happened last year. Their testing has gone up. I think we're past the phase like we were last year because that happened pretty early in the summer when the algae blossomed. So I think we're good quality-wise this year. There's a lot of things in that river. The Minto Fish Collection Facility, as soon as they started, quote, relocating seals this year, it was amazing because Greg, who runs that with ODF&W, he said he saw immediate numbers come up.
Really?
In steelhead. Yeah. And he says, so not only were they eating, but they're actually scattering these fish away. So the relocation program that we finally got approved through the feds is helping with the fish population.
You know, Commissioner Cameron, back in the day, it doesn't seem that when you're older, you know, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it was the mid-90s, but we absolutely had major salmon run in downtown Salem.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be nice, especially now that we're going to be doing the work to daylight the last part of the Mill Creek that dumps into the Willamette Slough and things like that to restore some sort of runs and get more healthful waters for the fish to travel. That would be awesome to see it again.
Oh, yeah. It's a great tourist attraction, and it's great for our environment to see that. You could used to sit up over the ram, and you could look the fish down there in October and see them spawn.
Yeah, my right? wife taught preschool back in the early 90s, early and mid-90s, downtown Salem. You'd take the kids and do a field trip and an education opportunity to see all of the salmon flipping through the rip. And now it's downtown Salem. It's not even there. Yeah. But we could do it again, folks.
Yeah, and that facility that they've built is about a $30 million fish collection facility, and every salmon that gets there gets relocated above the dam. Mm. The key is now getting them back through. They're only getting one for one, so you can't reestablish a good run with just one for one. So now they got to figure out that's the whole water tower mixing thing
right.
and collection
wow.
facility.
Right. All right, in the studio with us here on Newsmakers is Marion County Commissioner Kevin Cameron. We're going to take one final break and finish up the hour with you. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and this is 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for being here with us. In the studio is Marion County Commissioner Kevin Cameron.
What a great guy, too.
We were talking about the state funding our needs here in Marion County for parole and probation. We've been talking about the appointment process with Raquel Moore Green being appointed to House District 19 and, of course, new commissioner, which we've had on just before we were sworn in, Colin Willis. We'll have to have him back.
I think
they're scheduled new commissioners. Did he, are you still involved in the SEDCO? I know you guys kind of divide up your responsibilities. Is that still going to be your core?
So I serve on the SEDCO board and executive council. We meet once a week or once a month. Serve on the Oregon State Fair Council board at the Oregon State Fair, which is coming up, by the way, the end of August.
So big one.
We'll be there.
Some great entertainment going on there. And that, by the way, the Oregon State Fair Council, since the legislature, we kicked that thing out onto a semi-public corporation, is doing really
They're
well.
Crushing it.
We're doing really well, and we've got a little bit of money from the legislature to help update some of the facilities out there.
Nice.
So that's really good, and I'm involved with that.
Who's chairing the Public Safety Coordinating Council?
I do chair that.
What does Sam do?
You should
does
see
Sam
my,
work?
She my schedule. Yeah, yeah. Sam's on MWAC. By the way, he is great. You know what? He's been lobbying for this bridge in what's the name of that little town over there that's between Clackamas and Sam? You're probably listening right now.
He's screaming at the radio right now.
How could you get this wrong? Sam, this is an invitation to come on and talk about it.
He's been lobbying for this bridge for like, I don't know, how many years. And now he wants to turn it into a covered bridge because the original bridge, Scotts Mills. This is the Scotts Mills Bridge, which goes over the river between Clackamas and Marion County. But Sam really does a lot of work on the transportation side. And we have some really good people in public works that he works with. And so he goes to all those meetings that they're kind of contentious when you get into people from downtown Salem, et cetera.
We're talking, of course, of Marion County Commissioner Sam Brentano. And so we want a covered bridge. That sounds like sentimental. Commissioner doesn't seem like a sentimental type.
I told him, I said, you know what, Sam, it's going to be so tall to get trucks underneath it. So anyways, the bridge that's there right now is moved in from some other place. But we love talking about the Scotts Mills Bridge. But in serious, it needs to be replaced. But there's a lot of bridge. The Silverton Road Bridge over the creek there right outside of Salem is going to get replaced next year. That road's going to be closed.
Wow.
There's going to be some detours set up. Public Works is either paving or sealing lots of roads this year. We've got some really good work going on in roads,
and they
Sam oversees
can't
that.
Secretly build a third bridge for us. Accidentally, intentionally across the river there?
Sam has got some ideas on that.
I'm sure he does.
One of the things he said at our State of the County was that his dad taught him never to burn a bridge, but he says, when there's not one built, I can't burn it. Right? I mean, you heard some of those comments.
All right. And you have the unique pleasure, you Marion County Commissioners, of being the government for those parts of Salem that aren't in Salem.
Right. So
the big chunks of East Salem that are not in Salem.
Right. If you incorporated the unincorporated area of Salem in East Salem, it would be could be the second largest city, third largest city in Oregon.
Wow.
We've actually verbalized calling it the city of New Marion, although our land use laws would not allow that area to be incorporated unless it was brought into adjoining cities.
Oh, really?
Kaiser or Salem.
Okay.
So even though we would,
it's going to be like the state of Jefferson, right? You're just going to call it the state of New Marion City.
New Marion. So what's going on over there is we did form a East Salem Public Safety Service District. 10 deputies have been hired or are in some way in the process. We already have a couple of deputies assigned over there. They'll have their own vehicles that'll be labeled East Salem, you know, that there'll be more of a police preventative force than, you know, working with the community. The one that the lead deputy that's over there lives in the community. So we're doing that. The people are paying for that. It's on their property tax bill, $120 a year per household. And they're going to get two 24/7 full-time deputies. In addition to that, we need to get our hats off to PGE. They are working with us and our Public Works Department to install streetlights. We had like 150 separate lighting districts over there.
Wow.
I mean, you get 150 different bills a month. We formed one lighting district, and we're going to be implementing over the next 3 years lights, street lights throughout the area, and trying to bring that area up into a more livable community. That's our job, is to, you know, create livable communities in any way we can.
Wow, that is incredible consolidation.
That's smart government work.
East Salem, right, folks, if you're not familiar, Jan Ray area, Four Corners,
right,
that kind of area is not in the city of Salem. And without the public safety district, they have to rely on Marion County sheriffs and sheriff deputies, and that's hard to do without some extra help there. So 10 deputies for that region is awesome.
It'll be great. Yeah.
That'd be great. Hey, folks, what we want you to learn there, and we're talking to Kevin Cameron, of course. By the way, I didn't even properly introduce Kevin. I just wanted to talk to him so badly.
But, I know,
been in the community forever. What you need to know about Kevin is that he's been a business owner.
Still, right? Am.
And he calls himself a hamburger flipper. That was my first job.
Mine too.
Flipping burgers. But been a restaurant owner and an employer and a job creator and then a legislator. And now he's serving at Marion County. So great service to us. And we want to thank you for being there.
No, thank you very much.
The other thing I want you to realize, folks, is that these commissioners are working hard. Because it's possible to get elected and not work hard, although,
right,
I don't know how many times you're going to get elected, but it's possible to get elected and get a paycheck and not work hard,
yeah,
but they're also doing good work.
Yeah, people ask me, is it a full-time job? And I say, I wish it was only full-time.
Yeah.
A lot of hours.
Do you still have some elements of your business that,
oh, yeah,
you own?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have,
yeah,
that to do on the side in your spare time.
Yeah, I've sold it, the majority of it, and it's... the people I've sold it to worked for me for a long time, and they're doing a great job, and the interest I have is all up in Portland now, so I don't have anything here locally.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I hope the listener is realizing that, you know, they're doing things that make sense for Marion County residents, and they're important. What I do with the garbage and what we do with our water and our recreation and our economy
and
our public
safety
and
all that.
And all of that. So it's nice to know. I mean, just think about consolidating all those districts into one,
right,
and the administration of that. That's smart work, folks.
Yep.
And glad to have it. Thanks for being here. I'm Brent DeHart. We're going to have another great show tomorrow with the mayor. Dave Bourne will be here, and I'll have a guest host on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.